where it has to be. But what if God says something different tonight? What if God were to tap you on the shoulder and say, let's step out of what's ordinary? How would you respond? How would you respond? And so tonight, I want my heart to say yes unto the Lord. I want my soul and everything in it to say yes unto the Lord. Amen. It's good to feel the Holy Ghost, and excited about what God is doing at camp. I'm not going to spoil everything, but there's some good things going on at camp already. There's some good things happening. So God's working. The Holy Ghost is moving, and that's what we like. Amen. Make sure that you're still covering Pastor and Sister Crosswhite, the rest of our church family, the Watsons, the rest that went, the youth. Cover them in prayer, and just ask God to continually minister to them, and it'll all work out. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, thank you to my wife. She was my office help today, and I appreciate her very much. She deserves special double honor, and she does a good job. I'm telling you, she does a real good job. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 4. If you have it, say amen. Amen. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Amen. You may be seated. Blessed are they that mourn. The path to a pure heart, no doubt, starts with humility, but coming alongside is a genuine, mournful, and compassionate attitude. So what does it mean to mourn? To show deep sorrow or regret or sadness. Okay? So does that verse indicate that we are to walk around from day to day with that sullen, sad look on our face that lets the world feel, I don't want anything to do with that. That's not what this is talking about, is it? No. Is it to constantly find something to cry about, something to whine about, something to gripe and complain about? No. No, it's not those that will be blessed. It's not that type of mourning. But it's talking about the mourning that is deeper. You see, sin by nature produces a hard, calloused attitude. And living for God opposes this attitude. So there is, by default, a hardness that comes in when we start deviating away from the Word of God. Because it is only by abiding in His Word that we can find true liberty, that we can find true peace, that we can find the things that our soul craves for. It is only by the Word of God. And somebody say amen. Sin by nature produces a hardness on the inside. And it can manifest in different ways. That hardness can be towards someone, or it can be towards something, or it can be just a hardness that will not allow the Spirit of God to enter. So it's not that God won't respond or won't bless, but in many situations, he can't. When sin closes an individual off, when there is a shutting of the door, well, I'm not going to let that person, and I'm not going to let that person, and you can't tell me, well, then you are by default shutting the door on God. You can't have a hardness out here and then just be completely open and let God. It's got to be balanced. Somebody say amen. There has to be a balance. And so to be hard-hearted is it's a dangerous position. Hard-hearted people are rarely touched by the word of God. Hard-hearted people, that heart that sin has gotten into, and there is an infection that's working inside of the heart, there's a hardness that comes over them. Hard-hearted people are cold. They're indifferent. They're uncaring. And they lack that genuine compassion. There is a flowing that begins to happen when the Holy Ghost is working. Now, life and time, if anybody has lived life for any number of years, you know that life can produce situations that are, they are not what we would call welcome. Everybody's going to go through situations like that. You're gonna go through times where you're not going to be strong and healthy. You're going to go through times where you're sick. You're going to go through times where you just don't feel like it. As much as I would like to encourage you today and say every morning you're going to wake up and the birds are going to be singing and the Holy Ghost is going to be there. And you're going to do 3 backflips getting out of bed and you're just going to be ready to go. And you're going to want to take the world on. Somebody's knees are already hurting. It's not like that. It's not like that. And the reason for that is we have to break through our flesh. Our flesh causes us a lot of trouble. And we read in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized in Jesus' name. And we see that we can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And a lot of times we can take that. And we can take repentance as, well, you know, it's something that I do circumstantially. But repentance needs to be a lifestyle. Repentance needs to be every single day. There needs to be a pushing through. You know, you're going to need somebody to help you along life's journey. You're going to need some help. There's going to be times where you have to tell somebody, I need your help. I need you to pray for me. I am just not getting it right now. And that's okay. It's okay to voice that. It's okay to reach out to help, for help from someone. It's okay because every single one of us go through situations and times and struggles in life where we need help. You're going to need somebody to help you. Sometimes it's a tragic event. Sometimes there's a loss of a loved one. Sometimes there's a close call with tragedy or some other unfortunate event that's going to be there, and it can cause hardness. But a lot of times God will use those things to also break hardness. God will use circumstances like that to get our attention. Anybody have your attention gotten before? Yeah, anybody ever had God tap you on the shoulder and said, hey, we need to talk? And that is an uncomfortable situation to be in. But it's better if we acknowledge what God is trying to show us in that every day. It's better if we live that life of repentance. It's better if we live that lifestyle of getting things out. Every day, God, what is it in me? God, change me. God, work on this man. God, mold me and shape in me. And that kind of lifestyle is going to help you much more in the end. And so what we're going to talk about tonight is the second thing that Jesus deals with on the Sermon on the Mount, and it is those that mourn. And so what he's talking about here, he's addressing an attitude of sensitivity. There's a softness. There's an easily touched spirit and a compassionate attitude. And that's pretty foreign to the world we live in today. You don't find very many people that are just going out of their way to help and to be compassionate and to reach. You don't find that anymore. You don't find the caring voice, and you don't find the hand on the shoulder and the encouragement of, hey, you can make it. Hey, it's going to be all right. You don't find that much anymore, because the world that we live in today is a McDonald's society. Everybody's ready to get through the drive-thru and get on to the next place. Everybody's trying to get somewhere, get something accomplished, and we got to hurry up and get it done. Everybody's in a hurry. I'm guilty of that. I mean, that's the culture that we have grown up in. But if we're not careful, we'll start losing some of these things that Jesus is saying, hey, I want you to stop for a moment. Hey, I want you to hold up for a moment. I want you to really start soaking in my word, soaking in the presence of God. Let these things get in you. That's what God desires of us. God desires transformation. God doesn't want somebody that just says, I repented, I was baptized in Jesus' name, got filled with the Holy Ghost, and never changed. There's no anything that shows in my life that there's a difference. But God intends for there to be something on the inside that's continually growing. There is that compassion and that reaching that God desires. Sin hardens. Sin hardens the heart on different levels. Sin hardens your attitude and it damages your personality. Sin will harden your facial expressions. Sin will make you look hard. That's what sin will do. And it is a paralyzing effect. Those living deep in sin have that look on them. Those that remain in sin can even get to a place where they are beyond feeling. What a scary place to be. What a scary place to be, to realize I cannot feel the Holy Ghost anymore. What a scary place to be, to realize that I can get into the presence of God. I can sense the worship. I can sense that others are feeling, but I can't. Oh, that's a scary place to be. That is a dangerous place to be, because God does not have to. How many times do souls bank on, well, God's going to forgive me and God's going to do this? He doesn't have to. We don't deserve in the first place the first reaching of mercy and grace that God gave to us. We didn't deserve that. We didn't deserve the first time that God reached to us and said, come on, I'm going to help you out. Much less every other time. And when we live a lifestyle that continually pushes God away, that's a dangerous place to be. That is asking for trouble and confusion to just come right on in. God, I don't need your ways. Except, you know, when I want to feel your touch. That is a detrimental state that you and I need to do our very best to stay away from, because if our heart is paralyzed, how do we respond when God does reach? When God does reach in his mercy and his grace, how do we reach back if that hardness is there? The emotions become paralyzed. There's something in the mind that begins to shift and change. There's an outlook change. There's a shifting that begins to work. And before long, you and I could find ourselves out. No feeling, not able to be ministered to. I don't want that. I want to be able to walk into the presence of God and lift my hands and say, God, thank you for letting me feel the Holy Ghost one more time. Thank you for letting me come in your house one more time. When we bow down and we get into a place of prayer, we begin to reach to God. Yeah, it might be difficult at first. Sometimes there has to be a press. Sometimes there has to be a pushing. But when we get to that place and we can begin to feel the presence of God, oh, what a privilege and what an honor to be able to feel the Holy Ghost. Come on, that's something that we don't ever need to push away. That's something that we don't ever need to let go of. The Holy Ghost is what we should be reaching for. Jesus, when he was going about and he was teaching and he was reaching and all of the miracles that he did, the Bible says in Mark 3 and 5 that there was a circumstance. There was a man that had the withered hand, and he looked round about the people, and he saw and he sensed on them a hardness, and it grieved him. And when he was grieved, he became angry. He looked on them in anger, and the question in his mind, I can just see as he's looking, scanning the crowd, looking around, and there's one man that's standing here with a desire. The one that is not whole, but everybody else that's whole is. And it angered him. It grieved his heart. There is something that God longs for in the heart of a human being, to be open, to be curious, to say, God, okay, if you're wanting to do, if you're wanting to go, I'll go with you. I'll respond. I will, whatever it is, God, I'll respond. And so we need to dig out the hardness. We need to not just act compassionate, but we need to be compassionate. Let compassion show and work in your life. Genuine repentance starts breaking down sinful, carnal hardness of the heart. Thank God for a people that can be touched by the Spirit of God and weep. There is something to tears. It is not just feeling sorry for yourself, although sometimes that comes with it. It is not just, well, I don't like the state that I'm in. It's not just, oh, I have to come to God and I'm crying. But there's something special. There is something linked with those tears to the Spirit. There's something linked. And when that heart begins to be touched by the Spirit of God, there's something about the visual representation of brokenness. Tears. What do you do when you take an olive and you crush it? Something that begins to bleed out of it. And when that heart begins to be crushed by the Spirit of God, there's something that begins to happen. And those tears begin to flow. And sometimes it's not immediate. Sometimes you gotta move through some things. And you gotta let those tears continue to flow. And again, this is not a on as needed basis. But repentance should be lived preemptively. Not, well, I plan on going to do this. So, you know, when I get, I'll probably go to church and I'll find a place of repentance. And no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, God, if there's anything, I don't want to mess up. I don't want to get to that place. I'm not going to wait till I fail. I'm going to start this morning and say, God, get what is it in me? Get it out. God, and that's the digging that God wants. That's the digging that God desires, that genuine repentance that starts breaking down that carnal hardness of the heart. You know, there's a saying that real men don't cry. Anybody ever heard that before? Real men don't cry. I would say real men do cry. Real men that are able to push everything aside, even when there's naysayers, even when there's onlookers, even when you could be ridiculed and made fun of, the real man will say, that doesn't matter. I'm going to touch God. The real man can say, I have found what's real, and I'm going to fight to stay in it. That needs to be the attitude of men, women, children, youth, young, old. It doesn't matter. I found something that I'm not willing to let go of, and I'm going to fight to keep it. I'm going to fight to do whatever I can do to make sure that I don't ever let go of this thing because it's too precious. We hold this treasure in earthen vessels. We hold this treasure. And so there is this mindset that the world has put in. Weakness. Oh, y'all are weak. Y'all got to go and cry and do all this stuff. But what the world is offering is hardness. It's a callousness. It's a lack of feeling. I remember being in that place. I remember wanting to feel cold, wanting to feel hardened. And can I tell you, it's scary when God says, okay, when I withdraw my spirit, let's see how you feel now. Come on, I'm talking out of a place of experience here. It's a scary thing when God withdraws his spirit and says, okay, you want to be hard? Okay. I'll play your game for a little bit. But when God reaches back in mercy, and he says, I still love you. We don't deserve that. You and I don't deserve that. But God reaches and God ministers. Let's make an effort to reach back. Psalm 51 and 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. And then Isaiah 57 and 15, it's interesting here. It says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place. And it's there we can get all excited. Woo! High and lifted up. God's great, the greatness of God, the high and lofty one. Woo! Feel like dancing. But he doesn't say those that are high and lifted up will sit up here with me. He said, if you want to get up here, you got to be of a contrite and an humble spirit. You got to get on your face to be able to get to that place with God. Yes, he dwells in a high and holy place. And so we in turn have to humble our spirits and reach out to him in compassion. Compassion. How many times does the Bible record weeping? How many times does the Bible record tears? How many times does the Bible begin to speak about those that would pray on behalf of and intercede on behalf of? And there is something that Jesus did and showed us. Jesus was touched. Jesus was moved. Jesus was fully God, but he was also fully man. And Jesus wept. He was compassionate. He cared. He exemplified real concern for others. Jesus knew what was going to happen when he went to the grave of Lazarus. He knew what was going to happen. Wouldn't it have been easy for Jesus to walk up to that grave and say, calm down, it's going to be all right. Easy does it now. Here's a box of Kleenex. But Jesus was a man of compassion. It says that he bore our sorrows. Okay? He bore the grief, the things that we feel from day to day. And that was showing that even though he understood what was about to take place, he hurt because Mary hurt. He hurt because Martha hurt. He hurt because there was others that were, they didn't understand. And when he saw their tears, come on, Jesus still responds to tears. Jesus is still moved by tears. He might understand, I can bring you out of this. You don't have to do all this crying. He could take that direction, but he's still moved when somebody weeps before him. He still moves when somebody gets on their face before God and says, God, and beats their chest and says, I'm nothing before you. I need your help. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. What if the poor man hadn't cried? He'd still be in his troubles. Things to consider. The Bible records Jesus desiring the best for Jerusalem. There was a genuine tenderness. There was something compassionate that he felt towards Jerusalem. Matthew 23 and 37, he's walking. There is a fulfillment of prophecy taking place. And there was cries, and there was Hosanna. There was all of these things. But inside he knew, and he had compassion. He said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. I was reaching. I was promising. I was all of the fulfillment, the purpose was there. But you said, no thanks. He saw the heart. He saw the heart of the people and what they were going to do. A spirit of mourning is not calloused or hard. A spirit of mourning is open. It's yielded to God. Being able to be moved and touched should be what's desirable to us. We should strive to be easily touched. I'm thankful to see men and women of God that can weep easily in the presence of God. That's something that I love. I remember one memory that I have that I hold so dear. And my grandpa has already passed away. But something that really stuck with me is I remember in the presence of God, in the house of God, I remember that man that he was an outside man. He was outdoors. He would get out and he would plant, and he would do all of the things that needed to be done, and he was always out and about, you know. He was a man. But when it came time to worship, those hands were lifted. That head was lifted up to God. And I could see tears just rolling down those cheeks. And he would love God and he would worship God. That's what I want to pass on to my children. That's what I want to pass on to my grandchildren. That's what I want others to see, is that tenderness towards God. But there's got to be a tenderness, an openness. There's a godly sorrow that worketh repentance. Repentance with weeping is always a good sign. Don't be ashamed or embarrassed to cry. But let that tender heart be developed not just towards God, but to people as well. The first and greatest commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, strength. And the second is like unto it. It's just as great. Love thy neighbor as thyself. How many times has somebody wept for you on your behalf when you weren't where you needed to be? How many times have tears fallen on your behalf? I'm thankful for an humble and a contrite spirit. And so it is excavation time. What must be dug out before the second foundational stone of compassion can be laid? We're talking about compassion. We're talking about being so open to God and working repentance in us that it yields not only the first step or the first foundational stone of humility, but it also begins to yield compassion. What do we have to do? How do we have to dig so that that can be laid? Hardness has to come out. Callousness has to come out. A spirit of being past feeling has to come out. Insensitivity has to come out. And coldness has to come out. There's something that God looks to. It gets his attention. And where we go wrong, where we mess up, is we start digging. We start the process and don't feel a change. And so we stop. Anybody ever been there? We start and then the hardness is still there. We start and there's still coldness. There's still bitterness. There's still anger. There's still, you ain't gonna tell me what to do. It's still present and accounted for. And so we get up from our 3-minute prayer meeting and say, God, you're not listening to me. And we get frustrated at God. When God is saying, keep on. You gotta dig a little bit. You gotta get in there and you gotta pray. You gotta pray until something happens. You got to make a decision. I will not stop. If I have to pray this morning, if I have to pray tonight, if I have to go to lunch and pray, I'm going to pray until something breaks. I'm going to pray until something gets out because I want the Holy Ghost to have precedent. That's what it takes. And it's pulling out hardness and saying, you're not going to stay there. You will not stay. I refuse to allow you to stay. And we wrestle. Jacob at the brook Jabbok did not grab a hold of that angel. And the angel say, oh, you got me, man. Good fight. Fist bump. It wasn't a 5-minute deal. It wasn't 15 minutes. It was all night. It was rough. It was hard. Sometimes it's difficult to get in there and pray. Sometimes it's difficult to realize who you are. Sometimes it's hard to look at yourself in the mirror and say, man, that's got to come out. And to be able to get down to a place of prayer when you don't feel like it. To be able to get down to a place of prayer when you're numb, when you're cold, and you don't feel like praying, pray anyway. If you don't feel it, pray anyway. If the tears aren't flowing yet, pray anyway. If there's not an answer from God, pray anyway. God will not despise a broken and a contrite heart. We've got to take God at his word. The problem is we don't have faith in his word. God said, if you'll humble yourself, if you'll be broken and contrite, I'm going to respond. And so our method, our mode needs to be getting down and humbling ourselves before God and saying, God, my heart needs some attention right now. I got to change. I got to transform. Hearts can and will often revert to a hardened condition over time. All it takes is the right season or neglect and the right condition, an offense, a misdeed, or being overlooked. All it takes is the right situation. All it takes is something where we're not having that vision of repentance. God, I want to stay repentant. God, I want to stay humble. I want to stay contrite. I want to stay broken. And something will enter in. Something will find its way in. And then you really got to work to get it out. Then you really got to fight. I'd rather do my fighting and my pressing on the front end. I'd rather go ahead and let God just have full reign. Amen. I've been on both sides of the fence, and I'm telling you, it's a whole lot easier to just say, God, I need your help right now. God, I don't want to get way down the road and just keep going and keep struggling. God, I need your help now. Just as a fertile field lays dormant all winter, so can the heart if unattended. Unattended. There's not a checking. There's not a pulling up. There's not a disking. There's not a, hey, this needs attention. And so somebody gets out there with a vision in mind. And you don't put that tractor on that hard field and make one run and it's done. It's row after row, row after row. Back and forth, wrestling back and forth, digging things out back and forth, letting God know, I mean business. I'm not letting go. I'm not letting go. And so once that ground is broken up, it becomes available again for another planting. Just as the farmer tills the soil, you have to till the heart. Pastor was mentioning in the minister's meeting the other day, he mentioned something about the soil. He was talking about the soil and how that soil has to be nourished. Does anybody know how many different things are in soil? A lot. There's a whole lot. There's nitrogen. You have, yeah. I mean, you could go down the list. There's a variety. There's a complexity. And so we can't just get in our mode of coming to church, and this is all I do. You know, I sit here and I lift this hand this high, and it hurts if I get right here. So I'm gonna stay right here. This is as much as I give. Okay, this, you know, I sit right here and I sit in the same seat. So I'm not poking at anybody. I'm just making a point here. That sameness can get us in trouble. But there's something that happens when we begin to stir things up. When we begin to worship God, when we begin to lift our voice and we begin to move and we're mixing things and we're taking different things from the presence of God, different nutrients and putting it in our spirit and saying, God, I need you. I need nourishment in my spirit. God, if it's through teaching, if it's through preaching, if it's through reaching, if somebody, I'm going to do whatever I need to do to get that help of your spirit. It's openness. God, if you've got a plow in this heart, it's going to hurt, but I'm ready. I'm ready because I want the end result. God, if you got to pull things out, I'm ready. But if you want to put things in, I'm ready. I'm ready. Anybody ready for the Holy Ghost? Anybody excited about the things of God? Anybody want the Spirit of God to come in and do new things? If we rest and we say, well, this is as much as I've ever seen, we'll never see greater. If we don't reach, if we don't press. But revival is about stirring things up. Revival is about getting in there and saying, okay, how can things be different? How can I do things in a different way? How can I not stay the same? How can I get some things dug up? Stir up that gift that is within you. Stir it up. That was a command to you and I. Stir up. Paul told Timothy, stir it up. Don't just sit there. Don't just let it stay. But get down to business with God. Dig out the hardness. Life is fragile. Life is fragile. So many times we allow life to go and we just think it's always going to be there. That's not the way that life works. It's not always just going to be there. There's things that happen. And so with every breath, let it be, God, my desires toward you. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Could you stand with me tonight? Is there anybody that wants that in their spirit? Anybody that wants that openness with God? Come on, that openness that causes us to reach, because that's what feeds compassion. We want revival where everybody's coming in to get the Holy Ghost. But it's got to start with something so deep within us that it is an automatic. It just happens. You don't have to pedal hard enough to get compassion. I don't have to crank this side of my face up just right so that I can get a smile big enough to try to at least make it look like I'm compassionate. Compassion is something that's natural, something that comes by the Holy Ghost, but it starts in repentance. It starts in a place of contriteness. It starts in a place of weeping and saying, God, I'm open. I'm open to whatever you want. And that second thing God begins to work in us is compassion. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Everybody wants the comfort without the contriteness, without the mourning, without the tears, without the work. God, just back up the dump truck. I'd like an extra large load of peace, please. Throw some joy in on the side and a little righteousness, and it'll be good. Be happy. Make that two loads of joy. I really need some joy today. It's Monday. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. It's an auto. It just happens. When we get to that place in the Holy Ghost, and we start pressing, and we start digging, and we start weeping before God, It becomes familiar. It becomes easier to do that. And God begins to work these things in us. And so it's natural when you go into the workplace for you to say, hey, man, let me tell you about what God's doing. Woo! And you start talking about the things of God. And there's something in you that draws you to those souls. Something in you that wants to reach, that sees people. A lot of times we get angry at people. A lot of times we cut people off because they didn't talk to me the way that I think I should be talked to. Well, that's not my communication style. I'm not talking to them anymore. We all have different communication styles. You're familiar with me. I'm an odd duck. My communication style is maybe at the end of the spectrum. But all of us communicate differently. All of us communicate in ways that sometimes are difficult to understand. But if we cut each other off and we say, yeah, without reaching and understanding, God created each one of us. There's different personalities. There's different variety. There's different things that God intends to be in his church. I just want to be a part of it. I just want to be open. I want to let the Spirit of God come in and do whatever he wants to do. I want to reach. I want to love. I want to be a part of this. And so tonight, compassion. Compassion. This is not just about getting compassion. It's about doing what it takes to cause it to come about. And that's the meaning of these lessons. Repentance, finding a pure heart, the pathway, the process of getting a pure heart. I wonder if tonight we could take just a moment and we could lift our hands and we could thank the Lord for his word. I wonder if we could take just a moment to say, thank you, Jesus. God, I don't deserve your kindness. God, I don't deserve your mercy. I'm the worst of sinners, Jesus. But you've been so good to me. God, you've been so good to me. Oh, God. Come on, somebody reach to Jesus. The Holy Ghost is here tonight. Woo, come on.
Create in Woo. Me a clean heart.
God, I want a clean heart.
Purify me. Purify Woo. Me. Create in me a clean heart. So I may worship you.
So that I can worship you,
create in me a clean
Do it here, Jesus.
Heart. And purify me. Purify
oh,
me.
Create
in
heart,
me
God.
A clean
Ooh,
heart.
The Spirit, God.
So
let that be your prayer tonight. God, put that in me. Make it be a clean heart. A pure heart, God.
Create in me a clean heart so I may worship you. Create in me a clean heart and purify me. Purify me.
Create in me that's open to the things of God. We're always gonna face things in life. Life is gonna be life. But if we can maintain that place before God, that openness before God, He can begin to put these things in us and He'll help us. And it's weapons against those things that try to come. When you've got humility, you got the compassion of the Holy Ghost, there's something that doesn't mean you won't ever struggle, but He will be a very present help. Amen. Can we give Him a hand clap of praise tonight?